Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. Hey friends, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. This podcast has gone to the birds. That's right. We're going to be talking about the top five best tips for a successful avian exam with the one and only Dr. Lila Proenza. How are you, my friend?
Welcome, my friend. Thank you for inviting me. This is awesome. We're flying.
I know, we're flying.
That was a bad joke.
No, it's good. I got my wings. We're ready to go.
There you go.
You know, a little bit of information about our wonderful colleague here, Dr. Proenza. Well, first off, she is our upcoming keynote speaker at Fetch Long Beach. So you guys are going to have to check her out. So Long Beach is happening December 1st through the 3rd. Are you excited about that, by the way? Congratulations.
I am so excited. And I'm also excited with what you were planning to do special that day. So yes. I'm sure everybody's going to have a blast.
It's going to be great. It really is. So she is a native of Brasilia, Brazil. Dr. Proenza is the founder and CEO of VetAhead, which we'll talk about in a little bit. She has always been passionate about veterinary medicine. She's the first South American to become a diplomat of the American College of Zoological Medicine with an emphasis on zoological companion animals or exotics. Congrats. Fantastic, by the way.
Thank you. Yes. Currently in Brazil, so we are good.
It's perfect. I love this. And currently in Brazil, she owned her own private practice exclusive to zoological companion animals. And she did her zoological medicine residency at the University of Georgia, where she developed a special interest for zoomed endoscopy and minimally invasive techniques, collaborating to produce several publications, including novel techniques in endosurgery. The list goes on with all the wonderful achievements that she's done. Frequent contributor, all that great stuff that she does. So I remember, I don't do it anymore, but I do remember practicing on birds. I don't know if you know this. When I first came out of vet school, I started strictly in exotics. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. And you know what? The more I talk to people, that's the most I hear. Like Molly McAllister and then Marisa, like everybody I talk to, they're like, yeah, I wanted to do exotics as you met. And then, you know, people give up. And you know what? Right. I think it's great this topic you chose, because that's the exact reason people give up, because we make exotic to be like something so like unachievable, so complicated, you know. So that's right. I love that you chose this topic.
Yeah, it's great. So we have a bird that comes into the exam with me. Walk me through a little bit about that journey and give our listeners some tips.
So I would say number one, and those the things I say are very unpopular opinions. They're very contradictory, but I'll say the first one is you already know what you have to do. You are already a bird veterinarian. All of us are, or a technician or assistant, because, you know, the medicine is the same, Adam. We can't, my tip number one is don't be afraid, because we already know what we need to know, okay? It's just like when you are seeing a dog and then you're gonna see a cat. The medicine is the same. There are a few unique traits, like how you restrain a cat versus how you restrain a dog, or how you restrain a dog that is panting, right? That can collapse. It's the same thing. So the first thing is don't be afraid. If you use proper technique, which is not difficult to accomplish, we're gonna go through them, it's gonna be okay. You need to examine the bird. Just a visual exam is not gonna take you anywhere. You're not gonna be able to practice your medicine. You're not gonna be able to palpate, auscultate. So don't be afraid. And I will close this first tip by saying, I don't practice exotic medicine, okay? Exotic medicine, it's a lot of BS. It's a lot of nonsense rules. It's a lot of things that you must do, must have, which makes they make completely, absolutely no sense. And it's all there to make us afraid of doing it. It is Zoom. That's why I say Zoom ads is medicine. You already know it. You, Adam, you know it.
Right. I love that. Because when you think about the birds that are, when you hear our birds coming down, you think of it as if it's like this fine porcelain, you know, antique that you look but can't touch, because if you touch it, you're going to break it, you know?
And at the same time, it might kill you, right?
Right.
So it's something you can kill by touching, but it can tear your finger. Like, so choose the one it is, right?
Right?
If it can probably kill you and tear you apart, it's probably going to handle a physical exam, right?
Yes, I love that.
Of course, there are things that, just like dogs and cats, I just want to make this big disclaimer, right? Just like a dog or a fractious cat, you're going to be a little bit more careful, give it a little bit more time, be, you know, more conscientious of what you're doing. Obviously, so if I have a painting dog, I'm not going to keep restraining it, until I get a blood sample, right? So common sense. But, you know, that's number one. Don't be afraid. The meds you need to know, you already know. Think it's a dog, and then you go from there.
Right. Love that. Yeah. Okay. So we know what you know. The medicine is there. Tip number one. What's tip number two?
Tip number two. Okay. If you are not, and if you're not, you're not used to seeing birds and you're not used to handling them, okay, and you and your team, and you know that you need to examine that bird, or that bird is screaming, which is very common with parrots, right? The most common birds we see, they're going to be screaming, it's very loud, we do lose focus. There's always midazolam. So my tip number two is intranasal midazolam. Okay, if you have the macaw in the waiting room and you're like, I'm not touching this macaw, then all you have to do is calculate a dose of midazolam, put in a syringe, take the needle off, give it to the owner saying, can you put this in the nose for me, please, in the air? That's it. That bird is going to calm down. You're going to do your exam without being pressured. The bird's not going to be screaming. It's going to be a safe examination. You're going to need to auscultate, palpate, open the wings, everything you need to do, and practice the medicine you already know. Because you're going to see the physical exam is exactly the same, top to bottom, if that's how you systematically do your physical exam. The same. We're going to look at the same things. So my tip number two is midazolam, either intranasal or intramuscular. And why? It's very hard to kill something with midazolam. Two, you can reverse. You use flumazenil, boom. Patient is awake in 5 minutes, goes home, happy, everybody happy.
Wow, that's fantastic. And ideally in birds, how long does midazolam last if you don't reverse it?
It depends on the dose, right? So I usually go for high doses, but when we are starting, also is a process. So be kind to yourself. In the beginning, people are afraid to give high doses. So they go with like 0.5 or 1 mg/kg, which is not going to take you very far, honestly. Maybe 10, 15 minutes tops and a very light sedation. Maybe just not going to scream as much. When I use 2, 3, sometimes 4 mg/kg of midazolam, and I usually don't use just midazolam, I associate with something, but here, for the sake of a physical exam, midazolam should be enough. Then we're talking about a good 20 minutes, like of you doing your examination and anything you need to do, blood or whatever. And then once you reverse, honestly, in 5 minutes, they're back to eating. And if you don't reverse, I would say, and sometimes I don't, if it's a really fractious bird that I don't want that bird like flapping the wings in the carrier going home, maybe another couple of hours of that bird being a little slower. I wouldn't say sedated. I would say, you know, if you prop them, they will easily arouse and be awake and be able to bite. But I would say a couple of hours.
Okay.
If you don't reverse.
Yeah. Good to know. Excellent.
Very safe. Very good tip. I would say that the number one and number two are my best tips. Don't be afraid and use midazolam if needed.
Yeah. Better living through chemistry. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Tip number three.
Number three, I love a good towel. Okay. So number three is the towel burrito, the towel wrap. I absolutely love it. One is safe for us. Two is safe for the bird because with the wings, right? The difference between a dog and a bird in that sense is that they have the wings, they'll be flapping the wings so they can hurt themselves. Even if they don't, it makes it really hard, right? That movement all the time. I love to, one, if it's a big bird, use a heavy towel and I throw the towel over them. Once they're covered with the towel, they slow down because it's dark and they don't know what they are. So it's easy to identify their head and hold their head and then proceed with wrapping them. And if it's not a big bird or I don't need to use a heavy towel, even if it's a calm bird, wrapping the towel around the body allows them to feel safe. You know those, what is the name of those jackets for thunder and
thunder shirts?
Right? Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's a thunder shirt. So it's as I described.
Yeah. You know, what's the name of the shirt that you use when it's like thundering out? The thunder shirt. So
welcome audience.
Right. With you.
So I think it works the same way. And so I like to wrap it. One thing though, that's different in birds, They don't have a diaphragm, okay? So part of this tip is to say, don't hold their chest, don't prevent their chest from moving up and forward and backwards, because that's what allow them to breathe. Now, you don't need to be worried about that. You can wrap the towel around them. Just don't make it super tight like a newborn baby. But they're just supposed to allow be allowed to move the chest. And then also with this tip, not that I have done this multiple times, but make sure you are in a closed room because birds fly. And you don't want to be the one trying to catch a bird in the middle of a big, big room with other patients and stuff, because you forgot they can fly and they escape. So in closed room, towel wrap, and don't prevent them from moving the chest. That's tip number three. Yeah.
It's a good tip. You could do anything with the towel when you have that restraint nicely for
birds.
I
agree. Okay. It's excellent.
Yeah, really great. Okay, and tip number four.
Okay, so that comes something unique to birds and a little different, but the concept, the medicine is the same. So capillary refill time, right? That's usually what you do in a mucosa on a dog. In theory, you could still do it, but I'm not going to be the one telling you to put your finger inside of a beak of a parrot. Right. And the other thing is, their mucosas usually are pigmented, are black or dark, so it becomes hard. So instead of using that as an evaluation of perfusion, what we can do is the owner refill time. So it's the owner vein, which runs will be their elbow on the wing. So we extend the wing and you're gonna see that vein. And then when you press the vein, just like capillary refill time, in less than 2 seconds or even less than 1 second, it should refill back. So that I love to use that. You don't need to pluck any feathers. Okay, you can just open the feathers or you can use a drop of alcohol just to push the feathers away. And in chickens, it's very, very cool. You can use either the comb or the waddle to do it. So you can press. So it's usually red. So you can press on it and release. So you see, the medicine is the same. You see what I'm saying? The medicine is the same. Yeah. I need that data. I need to assess perfusion, evaluate perfusion. It's just the how, right?
Right. Yeah. I did not know that. That's awesome. Cool.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, it really is. Okay. All right. And tip number five.
Yeah, the number five. So number five is where we're going to auscultate our patients. So medicine is medicine. I still need to auscultate respiratory or cardiovascular and respiratory, right? So for the heart, what we do, we're going to put our stethoscope on the chest on each side, okay? And then here, usually, the most common, again, birds we see are cetaceans, which are the parrots, and they're going to have a very, very fast heart rate. Usually we cannot count. So the bigger the bird, just like in dogs and cats, actually correct me, that's so many years that I don't do dogs and cats, but the bigger the dog, the slower is the heart rate, right? So it's the same with birds. So the bigger the bird, it tends to be a little slower, but it's not going to be anything less than 150. But smaller birds like a cockatiel, it's literally, you cannot count like do, 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 do. And that's okay. Okay. Now, just like in dogs and cats, the auscultation is important to pick up murmurs, arrhythmias. So the same things, they can have congestive heart failure. They can have arteriosclerosis, is very common in parrots. So all of that we need to assess. So again, the medicine is the same. And last, to auscultate the respiratory tract, again, a difference in birds is that they have the lung and then they have the air sacs, which are little balloons connected to the lung. Usually majority of birds have 9 of them. And then we're going to auscultate between the scapula to hear the lung. So you're going to hear the air passing through. And then you hear under each wing. So you elevate the wing a little bit, put your stethoscope there, and auscultate. And then around the body, you can auscultate the lung. And the air sacs, I'm sorry. And the last thing I want to say about that, they don't have alveoli. So you're not going to hear crackles like you would necessarily in a dog, but definitely you can hear different sounds. So that's going to be tip number five. So as you can see, just in summary, the medicine we're going to practice and the system we're going to use to examine the birds is exactly the same. And it just changes here and there how we're going to do it. But, you know, a bird is an animal like any other animal, any other patient. And what I would say, if you panic, and in the beginning you will, then all you do is close your eyes and think, if it was a dog, what would I do? And your answer is going to be correct. So just think about that, because you already know what to do.
Yes, you really do. The tools are already there. We've learned them in veterinary school, you know, and
I think what I love about our profession so much, Dr. Proenza, is the fact that maybe I want to dabble and do a little bit of bird medicine. Yeah. And just like you're talking about, like, this podcast makes me want to go back and really evaluate and do like birds. I don't see why we can't, right? I mean, it's just.
I definitely invite you. And, you know, I'm known by teaching and training a very different approach. Like if you were with me in practice, I don't have any nonsense rules. Literally, I don't. I see the patients in the same space. I use the same ICU to hospitalize. I use the same equipment. Of course, we're going to have a different equipment here and there that I need. But I'm just recently training a veterinarian that has never had contact with Zoomed whatsoever. She's a great practitioner, general practitioner. And she said to me, and I think that goes with what you just said. She's like, I was so scared to be trained by you because I thought it was going to be a whole new universe. She's like, it's right. Not. All the knowledge is already in my head. All yeah. You're teaching me, it's like, I know I need blood work. All you're teaching me is where I collect the blood from.
Sure.
But what I need to look for, I know already, right? And I was like, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if someone is telling you something that is nonsense for a dog or for a cat, believe me, my friend, it is a nonsense for Zoomed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And if I wanted to learn more, because this is what I mean to the listeners, you got to follow Vet Ahead on Instagram, by the way, because she does a lot of great unpopular opinion videos, which are great. But if you want to learn more and do a deeper dive, tell the listeners a little bit more about Vet Ahead.
I will for sure. Thank you for asking that. So yes, our social media is @_VetAhead. We give a lot of free content. We are all about spreading knowledge because the only way you can succeed is if you have knowledge. It's guided for general practitioners and technicians and assistants, not for specialists. It's not to become a specialist. So if you want to learn more, I would say start following on social media. But if you really, truly want to know from start to end, no matter what level you are, then you have our online training courses. And I call them training courses because they're not just sparse or isolated information. It really takes you from point A to Z. And so at Vet Ahead, what we have is a membership. You enroll for our membership, either annual fee or you pay every month, and you have access to all our online courses. And a great one to start, I would say, is the emergency course because it dabbles over all species. And it is meant for you, it's a great start. It's meant for you to say, okay, I'm seeing this patient, I need to stabilize, I need to know these things, but then I'm going to transfer this patient to someone that knows more than me if they need further diagnostics or anything like that. So it gives you that confidence and allows you to help the animals. And then if you want to dive even deeper, then you do our courses that are specific for, like, for example, guinea pig or chinchillas, we just recently launched there, or rabbits. And we are launching one now on chickens, on backyard chickens, which is, I'm so excited about that one.
Yeah.
So excited. Yeah.
Very popular.
So we have much more coming. We have a reptile one coming and it's really, really cool.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great, great work. So I got to ask you, you see so many species, Dr. Proenza. Mm-hmm. So tell the listeners, where's your sweet spot? Which ones really do melt you the most?
I don't know about you, with the passing of the years, my heart becomes softer and softer and softer. And it's harder for me not to get attached to patients nowadays. But I would say my heart, it's not on an animal, it's in a procedure. I am crazy about rigid endoscopy. So no matter what animal is underneath the scope, that's where my heart is. But awesome. I don't know. It goes into phases. There are phases I like birds more, or maybe I'm enjoying more because I'm trying something new, but the endoscopy, I really love that.
And you have a beautiful African gray, don't you?
Oh my God, Coco. Yeah, she's a star on that. Actually, when I don't show her if I go like a few weeks without showing her, people are like, where's Coco?
Right. Coco? Yeah, she's so cute. To the listeners, I saw Dr. Proenza, I think it was in San Diego. She's at the bar having a drink and Coco's just chilling with her. She's just absolutely perfect. She's like, what's going on? I'm relaxed. I'm with mom.
And I'm traveling. I'm in Brazil right now. My sister's back at my place taking care of my kids and animals and all. And my sister called me the other day. She was like, Lila, this bird is your alter ego. Like, it's like you never left the house.
Right, right. I love it.
She's probably going to be there in Long Beach, guys. So if you're going to fetch, come. Probably, I'll see. She'll be there probably.
I love it. I would love to see that. So thank you so much for being on the show, Dr. Proenza. And again, we're going to put all the information and your handles in. God, am I old for saying handles? Is it usernames? Like, what is it? What, your socials? I guess that's what you're supposed to say.
I don't know how the kids say these days, honestly.
I know. I guess
my
it's social.
Kids are currently, they are constantly making fun of me. Like, mom, don't say that. I'm like, oh, come on now.
But the website again is vetahead.vet, V-E-T. And we'll put that information as well into the show notes. So always good to hear from you, my friend. Thank you so much for being on the show.
You're very welcome. And thank you for inviting me. And as usual, hashtag no species left behind, guys. We love
there
them
you
all.
You go. So true. So true. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate today's podcast. Always helps us out as we're doing very well and we're trending. And we'll see you. Look, who are we? We're trending. We'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Thank you, everybody.
'Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.